On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Taoiseach tells the Dáil that Housing Minister Dara O'Brien is considering proposals from mica-affected homeowners in Donegal and will meet with them online later this week. The General Manager at Letterkenny University Hospital says work is ongoing to diagnose the extent of the HSE's cyber attack. It'll be some weeks before things get back to normal across the country. The Transport Minister says the best IT brains, both nationally and internationally, are working to resolve the issue. A survey in Galway finds there's a greater appetite to continue remote working into the future, and tourism figures say the industry is set for another devastating summer. And later in the bulletin, Kenny Harkin is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the exchanges in the Dáil this afternoon, during which the Taoiseach told deputies that Housing Minister Dara O'Brien is considering proposals from mica-affected homeowners in Donegal and will meet with them online later this week. Micheál Martin was responding to the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, who urged the government to deliver a 100% mica redress scheme, similar to that provided to those affected by pyrite.
Unfortunately, rather than making a fully funded scheme available to them, 100% scheme, as had been done with the pyrite remediation scheme, these families in Donegal and Mayo were presented with a take-it-or-leave-it offer of a 90% scheme from the last government, which had anticipated assistance from the financial institutions. Well, Taoiseach, what has happened is that the real contribution from these families to make that they have to make towards the cost of restoring their homes can be anything up to 50% of very considerable costs. And Taoiseach, the banks are nowhere to be seen. So I want to urge
you, Deputy, the
to make the defective
concrete blocks grant
scheme a 100% fully funded scheme. That's the least these families in Donegal and Mayo deserve.
Can we have a brief please?
The Minister for Housing has met with a representative group, I think it was in February. He asked for submission in terms of their proposals in relation to the scheme that had been committed to and is up and running since last year. He got that submission towards the end of April. He is now going to consider that proposal. I think he's due to meet with the group on Thursday as well. And we give every consideration to the submission that has been made by the representative group. Currently, the existing scheme, maximum grants under each of the five remedial options range from 49,500 to 247,500. It's estimated it could cost up to $1 billion over the next decade between now and 2030. But
thank you, Taoiseach.
The Minister will meet with the group.
And that was Taoiseach Micheál Martin and the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald speaking in the Dáil this afternoon. Also on our website, you'll be able to hear from Eileen Doherty, a mica-affected homeowner. And that story on the website also has the comparison that's been produced by the mica-affected homeowners in Inishowen that shows the differences between the current mica-redress scheme and the scheme offered to those in Leinster affected by pyrite. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says work is ongoing to diagnose the extent of the cyber attack on the HSE. Dialysis services and vaccination clinics have been operating as normal, as have haematology and oncology clinics. People are being told to attend those unless they're contacted by the hospital and advised otherwise. The emergency department is open, but other services at the hospital have been suspended, including diagnostic services. And as regards outpatients, people are being advised not to attend scheduled appointments, again, unless they've been contacted by the hospital. There are more details on our website, highlandradio.com. Sean Murphy, the hospital's general manager, says the full impact of the cyber attack has resulted in a further restriction of services.
Work is ongoing to essentially diagnose the extent of the problem before we can even start looking at what systems could be switched on and how they could be switched on safely. So it leaves us really flying blind without the use of all the IT systems that we normally run. And we spoke about that yesterday. Happy to come back on it, but it really slows down all our processes. From a clinical perspective, yesterday we, I suppose, was the first full day of all services running that we saw the impact. And that's led us to have to further restrict services, because really our diagnostic services were struggling under the pressure of trying to support the emergency department, the inpatients that we had, and those critical and urgent cases that we were dealing with.
And that was Sean Murphy there. Well, the Transport Minister says the best IT brains, both nationally and internationally, are working to resolve the impact of the cyber attack. None of the systems are back running as of yet following the hack. The HSE says it will be several weeks before everything is back on track. Eamon Ryan has defended the HSE's security system, saying health systems are always vulnerable because they are so large. But the Minister admits people working from home may have contributed to the problem.
And also, as we've moved to remote working, and particularly during the COVID crisis in remote working, the area that is available to hackers to look to get in is much wider than it would historically have been. So it's a combination of reasons.
There's a greater appetite to continue remote working into the future, according to a new survey. 95% of employees surveyed by NUI Galway said they would like to continue to work from home in some form when the pandemic ends. It's after an IBEX study yesterday found 4 out of 5 businesses would bring in a hybrid working system. Future of work expert Peter Cosgrove says that looks to be the way forward, but he says the office still has a role to play.
The thing that we're kind of missing a bit in this pandemic is we've kind of moved from this 3D world to this 2D world, and there's just no doubt that there's a huge amount we get from people that when we meet them face to face, and that those sort of connections, and not just in terms of service jobs, even in terms of internally how we service each other, how we kind of work with each other.
The portal to register for a COVID-19 vaccine will be opened to people aged 45 to 49 this week. 49-year-olds can register for an appointment from tomorrow. Those aged 48 can register on Thursday, and so on. More than 2.1 million vaccine doses have now been administered in the Republic. People can register for their vaccine by going to vaccine.hse or calling 1850 24 1850. Tourism figures say the industry is set to suffer another devastating summer. It's after the government signalled that international travel will not resume until at least August. It had been hoped that foreign visitors could have come to Irish hotels over the summer. However, as Paul O'Donoghue reports, the industry now believes that will not happen.
Talk of the EU agreeing on a COVID vaccine cert by June had given hospitality firms some hope of salvaging the summer. But they say this has largely been dashed after Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said it will be August at the earliest before holidays abroad resume. CEO of B&B Ireland, Helena Healy, says this has come as a massive blow for her industry.
Oh, so summer's a write-off for international travel, there's no doubt about that. You know, a 10-week window of staycation business doesn't replace a 12-month window of domestic business and international business.
And Pat Dawson of the Irish Travel Agents Association says this means the state finances will take another hit.
If international travel is put on hold in Ireland, that affects both ways, both inbound tourism and outbound tourism, and certainly it's going to put more debt on Ireland Inc.
But these people say it's still too early to be going on holidays abroad.
No, I don't think there'll be any vacations this summer, you know, too early.
Probably next year sometime, not this year. See how the vaccine goes.
Next week, the government is expected to discuss a firmer timeline for when international travel will finally be able to come back.
Donegal-based E&I Engineering has announced it's to accelerate its existing US operations with a €13 million expansion plan. It's expected that will create 200 new jobs. E&I Engineering, which is a global leader in electrical switchgear production, is headquartered in Burnfoot. It was founded in 1986. A Donegal senator has claimed today the media is not reporting on important issues relating to Sinn Féin, particularly in terms of the standing down of senior figures in Derry. Referring to what he called the Martin McGuinness machine, Senator Niall Blaney told the Shannon the lack of coverage on what's been happening in Derry raises serious questions about the credibility of how media report on such issues. He says this event and many other incidents are clouded in secrecy. And he told the Shannon sitting in the Dáil that media all over the island of Ireland need to respond.
Extraordinary, the lack of reporting when it comes to the situation in Derry. An individual whose legacy has been torn apart, that of, I have to ask the question, what is the problem with our media in this country? when they're afraid to report these things. There are all kinds of rumours in Derry of community monies not being properly spent. There is rumours of drugs being involved. And I think it's in everybody's interest that media go on and report these things. But I find it extraordinary for the last 6 weeks that our media in this country won't touch it. What is wrong with our media? Is it infiltrated? Have they fear? Why won't they investigate these things? I too, Gerry Adams' brother, was placed in Donegal House for 3 years. He had charges of paedophilia against him. No media would ever touch it. Everybody knew about it in Donegal, but nobody had touched it. And as well as that, we have a Sinn Féin party that's spending tens of thousands week in and week out on papers and media and independent journalists across the country. And they can attack anybody on social media with a drop of an email. I think our democracy is under attack at the moment. And we're talking about cyber attacks. This attack needs to be investigated. It's time our media spoke up and woke up. And it's the time we got independence for all parties in this state. For my good.
And that was Senator Niall Blaney speaking in the Shannon earlier today. Cabinet ministers will meet this evening for a second time to discuss changes to the laws around property investment funds. It's expected so-called cuckoo funds will have to pay increased stamp duty to buy up Irish property, while changes to planning laws are also on the way. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
On the tax side, it's expected Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue will hike stamp duty for these investment funds buying property, with a budget night style financial resolution to be brought forward soon, according to the Taoiseach.
They're going to deal with the issue of investment funds competing with first-time buyers most likely tomorrow.
Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald has said that any tax changes need to be large enough to make a real difference.
I asked you about these funds specifically because this needs to get sorted out. So I'd invite you to stop the spoofing and the posing and to commit to the following. Stamp duty at 17%.
Planning matters are still to be decided by ministers this evening. It's expected between 30 and 50% of new developments will be protected from purchase by investors. Whether to keep them for first-time buyers only or all owner-occupiers has yet to be discussed, while ministers will also debate whether to only protect houses and leave apartments open to purchase by investment funds, or to base the restrictions on the density of a development. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
A local councillor is warning it's only a matter of time before someone is seriously injured or worse if action isn't taken to address speeding issues at Liscooley on the main Ballybuffet to Lifford Road. Councillor Patrick McGowan says the installation of one single flashing speed sign in the area is just tokenism. He says it's up to Donegal County Council and the TII to step up to the mark, particularly as preparation work has already been done.
The speed on the main N15 to Ballybuffet to Lifford is far too fast within Liscooley. Some years ago, the council and the TII carried out roadworks there, and they actually put wires and onto the ground with the prospect of perhaps putting in a pelican or a pedestrian crossing there. What they said at the time was that they would need to get the speed down to below 50 kilometres an hour. So after they carried out some minor traffic jamming and resurfacing work there, and they carried out speed checks then, but in fact then the speed actually has increased because of the better surface in the road and the better alignment. The traffic has actually speeded up. So all they got since was one speed sign that faces the traffic. It tells you what speed you're doing. But unfortunately, it's not working. And obviously there, a couple of weeks ago, we had another accident there. And it's quite regular to have near accidents there. People trying and braking in the middle of the road and that type of thing. And local residents tell you here the screeches of vehicles trying to brake there at short notice all the time. So what has happened so far is tokenism. And it's the only location that I would be aware of anywhere in the county, or even if you go from here to Dublin, the traffic is just allowed to just carry and do whatever speed they like.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five, and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. The FAA has endorsed Sligo Rovers' plans to redevelop the existing stadium at the showgrounds. The Premier Division club have published plans that include turning their home into a 6,000-seater stadium. The club, where current Irish captain Seamus Coleman played for three seasons, also plan to build an academy complex. The estimated cost of the project is €17.3 million. And club chairman Tommy Higgins believes it can get underway soon.
But I believe there's huge support for this, these proposals that we're bringing forward, and I think we will get a lot of support from everybody. I believe that we'll bring this to fruition, and our plan would be to get this all in place by the time of our centenary in 2028. That's 6.5 years, and that's probably a reasonable timescale.
Well, elsewhere in soccer, it's semi-final night in the Irish Senior Cup. The first of those semi-finals is just after half-time. It's currently Larne 0, Crusaders 1. Philip Lowry with the goal there for Crusaders. Later on at 8 o'clock, Ballymena United, they take on Linfield. Cross-channel former Manchester United teammates Roy Keane and Eric Cantona have been inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. Cantona became the third player to be inducted, and Keane was announced as the fourth to receive the Premier League's highest individual honour. They follow in the footsteps of Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry, who became the first two inductees. And Harry Kane will start for Spurs in their Premier League game with Aston Villa tomorrow night. That's despite widespread reports that he wants to leave the club. Caretaker manager Ryan Mason says he's not had any conversations with the English striker about his future. And Roy Hodgson says he's not sure what his future holds after confirming he'll leave Crystal Palace at the end of the season. He'll turn 74 before the start of the next Premier League campaign and has been coaching since 1976. Meanwhile, the battle for a Premier League top four spot reaches boiling point tonight as Saturday's FA Cup finalists renew acquaintances. A win for Leicester City away to Chelsea will see them secure a Champions League return. Kickoff at Stamford Bridge is at 8:15. And after recent protests outside the ground, fans will legally be allowed inside Old Trafford for the 6 o'clock meeting of Manchester United and Fulham. At the same time, Southampton they host Leeds, while at 7, Champions Manchester City they're away to Brighton. And the Republic of Ireland ladies will play a pair of friendlies against Iceland next month. Vera Pau's side will travel to Reykjavik for the games on June 11th and 15th. They'll serve as preparations for Ireland's World Cup qualifying campaign, which begins away to Georgia on September the 17th. In boxing, Donegal boxer Jason Quigley has admitted that it's been a frustrating time over the past 18 months as he finally prepares for a return to the ring later this month. He goes back into the ring in Las Vegas on May the 29th when he takes on Shane Mosley Jr. with the NABO middleweight title on the line. Since suffering a first professional defeat in July of 2019 to Turano Johnson, the Donegal man has been under the tutelage of Andy Lee, and Jason feels he's now an improved fighter and is in the best space since turning pro.
I just feel as if I'm a much more matured person now inside and outside of boxing, in terms of the way that I look at the sport, the way that I look at fights, the way that I approach fights, the way that I am in the actual ring as well, being more present, being more mindful in there. And it's an exciting time for me. There's a lot of fighters come away and say, this is the new version of me. Like, this isn't a new version of me. This is just a tweaked version of me with a few small changes mentally, a few small changes technique-wise and physically. So, I'm really excited and really looking forward to it now come May 29th.
You can watch the full interview with Jason in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. In horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall was back in the winner's enclosure today on So I Told You up in Sligo this afternoon. The Donegal jockey rode the evens favourite to victory for trainer Joseph O'Brien in the 3.45 handicap. It's the second time Dylan and So I Told You have won. The first was also at Sligo at the start of the month. Brown McMonagall continues to lead the Apprentice Championships with a 17th win of the year. In swimming, Mona McSherry is through to the 100 metres breaststroke semi-finals at the European Aquatics Championships. The Sligo swimmer finished joint second in her heat in Budapest, and she returns to the pool this evening for the semi-final. And in rugby, the Six Nations organisers have confirmed that this year's Under-20 tournament will get underway on June the 19th. All 15 games will be played at the Cardiff Arms Park on successive weekends. Ireland will begin against Scotland and finish on July the 13th against France. Finally, in cricket, there's an Irish Interprovincial Cup game on at Stormont in Belfast today. The North West Warriors scored 298 for 7. Northern Knights in reply are 153 for 4. They need another 146 for victory. That's all your sports this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. A one-way system designed to improve traffic flow around four of Letterkenny's busiest schools could be operational by this time next year. An allocation of €1 million was received from the National Transport Authority earlier this year for the project as part of the Active Travel Scheme. The design documents and other documentation should be complete by the end of June, with tender documents being issued by the end of September. It's hoped construction can commence before the end of this year, with the job set to be completed by the end of June 2022. Councillor Kieran Brogan says following a trial some years ago, this has been a long time in the planning.
An awful lot of work went on behind the scenes with road design to make sure we had the proper measures in place for it. I think it'll make a huge difference to the many people walking to the schools between Loretta Convent and Unions College, Scullamore and Smile, and the boys' school as well, Scullcollum Kills. I think all this is going to make a huge difference to the people in this area and how we manage the traffic, and particularly how the school buses will access this area as well. So I think it'll be much better management of all the traffic.
At the time, a couple of years back, when there was a pilot done and it was made one way for a number of weeks, the feedback from that was, as I recall, quite positive. People did believe that it made a difference and people did believe it made things easier.
There's no doubt about it. To start, this came from some of the bus operators in the area, and I think that's what's good about it. And the trial was actually a good idea as well, that people actually bought into it. And I think it's all about how we manage the traffic and how we make it a safer journey for everyone, but particularly some of the people that will be walking. And then the drop-off points is going to be huge as well as the parking around the school. I think we hear a lot of talk now about active travel and stuff. The proper drop-off points and how we manage the traffic is going to be huge in this area, and traffic calming measures as well. So with the plans in place now, it'll be great to see that next year this project will start, and it'll make a huge difference to the residents in that area as well, who have been somewhat concerned about some of the traffic calming measures for a long, long time.
And that was Councillor Kieran Brogan. Investigations are continuing after the tyres of a number of cars in the Ballybofey area were slashed in the early hours of Saturday morning. The incidents happened in Ardmacarran and Lenview Park between Friday night and Saturday morning. Gardaí are appealing for information. Substantial damage has been caused to a property and a number of vehicles in Carndonagh. It happened last night. Gardaí and Letterkenny are appealing for information relating to a criminal damage incident in Ballybofey in the early hours of Friday. There was an attack on a property in the Glen Patrick Place area. And Gardaí are investigating a number of money mule incidents in Donegal. They're urging parents to educate their children on the issue and for people never to send or receive money on behalf of anybody else. Looking now at the weather forecast, and Metairn tell us that scattered showers will develop tonight and overnight, most frequent in the northwest, lowest overnight temperatures 3 to 7 degrees Celsius, with some mist patches developing in light westerly or variable breezes. Tomorrow, it will be mostly cloudy to start, with scattered outbreaks of rain clearing to sunny spells and showers in the afternoon. Highest temperatures tomorrow 13 to 15 degrees Celsius in moderate, occasionally fresh westerly winds. Main stories in brief this evening, and the Taoiseach has told the Dáil that Housing Minister Dara O'Brien is considering proposals from mica-affected homeowners in Donegal and will meet with them online later this week. He was responding to the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, who urged the government to deliver a 100% mica redress scheme. The Transport Minister says the best IT brains, both nationally and internationally, are working to resolve the cyber attack on the HSC. 95% of employees surveyed by NUI Galway said they would like to continue some form of remote working in the future. The portal to register for a COVID-19 vaccine is opening to people aged 45 to 49 this week, and tourism figures say the industry is set to suffer another devastating summer. And we're back with news headlines again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 18th of May. The death has taken place of Sally Quinn, Naoimh Quilcan, late of 19, Sheerton Park, Foyle Springs, formerly of Narn, Portnew, County Donegal. Due to restrictions, house and funeral are limited to family and close friends only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the St. Columbus Church Long Tower webcam on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock. Interment will take place afterwards in St. Mary's Cemetery, Ardmore. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Bridget Connor, Downings Bay Hotel. Her remains are reposing at her late residence in Downings. Funeral on Thursday to St. John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on the Meva Parish Facebook page. Due to current HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Mary Bowden, Murlock, Downings. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Thursday to St. John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on the Meva Parish Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Meva Day Centre, care of any family member. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Anne-Marie Brennan, 55, Ballycommon Estate, Strabane, and formerly of Burndennet. Funeral from her home on Thursday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Silverdale Care Home, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at melmountparish.com. The death has occurred of Margaret Fonsey Kelly, Goland, Ballybuffet. Removal from McCool's Chapel of Rest tomorrow evening at 7:15 to arrive at St. Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish Facebook page. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, directly to Barnesview Ward, St. Joseph's Hospital, or via any family member. Due to current HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Sean McHugh, 41, Marion Park, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20, going to St. Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Buncrana Nursing Unit Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and friends only, please, with a limit of 50 people. The death has occurred of Brian McGivern, Kilcadden Crossroads, Killigordon. His remains are reposing at the Pastoral Centre beside Our Lady Star of the Sea Church, Bundoran, for family and close friends. Removal on Thursday afternoon at 1:15 to Lakeland's Crematorium, Dublin Road, Cavan, for cremation at 3 o'clock. In accordance with government and HSE guidelines, the reposing and funeral are private to family and close friends, please. Family home is strictly private, please. The death has taken place of Geraldine McMacken, née Corrie, 2 Alexandra Place, Sion Mills. Funeral from her home tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam.